Welcome to the Nuance Mid-Cap Value Semi-Annual Update Conference Call. My name is Vanessa, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to your host, Paul Gillespie, Vice President and Senior Client Portfolio Manager.
Thanks, Vanessa, and good afternoon, everyone. As Vanessa mentioned, this is Paul Gillespie, Vice President and Senior Client Portfolio Manager at Nuance Investments. I want to thank you all for joining us today for our Nuance Mid-Cap Value Semi-Annual Call Update. In the email invitation to today's call, there was a link to a presentation that we'll be referring to during the call. For any reason, if you do not have the presentation, you can email us at client.services@nuanceinvestments.com, and we'll email it right over to you. Before we begin the discussion today, I do want to let you know that this presentation may include statements regarding the intent, belief, or current expectations of our portfolio management team. Actual results may differ materially from such forward-looking statements due to a number of factors, including changes in general economic conditions, market liquidity, market volatility, and other market, financial, or governmental uncertainties. During the call today, we'll be giving an update on the firm and the team. We'll also go through a summary of the investment process and updated performance numbers. We'll conclude our prepared remarks with a review of what's happened so far in 2019, and then a discussion on our mid-year 2019 outlook. We'll then open up the call for questions. Now, with that, I'll turn the call over to Scott Moore, our President and Chief Investment Officer. Scott?
Thanks for the introduction, Paul, and thanks everyone for joining us today. On page three, we'll get started with a Nuance firm-wide update. Overall, the firm has been growing following a very good performance year in 2018 and a solid start to 2019. Coupled with our strong long-term performance records and the consistency of our team and our process, our other product, our Nuance Concentrated Value product, is a Morningstar four-star rated product as of 3/31. And for the entirety of its nearly 11 years of life, it's a first percentile versus its peers risk-adjusted return or sharp ratio product. Further, the Nuance Mid-Cap Value product, which we're talking about this afternoon, is a five-star rated product as of 3/31 by Morningstar. For the entirety of its 11 years of life, and it's also in the first percentile of its peer group on a risk-adjusted return or Sharpe ratio basis. Those results for those products have led to pretty solid firm-wide growth from our original seed capital in 2008 to $30 million. The firm is today over $3 billion of AUM. Many on the call know that we will stop accepting new clients when the entirety of the three products that we have hit about $3.5 billion. And we have estimated each product's potential AUM size over time. Things, of course, do change fast due to markets and growth, but the good news is we have another $500 million of capacity left in those three products, which we feel pretty good about. On that topic, I want to emphasize very clearly to our existing clients on the line that we will not, I repeat, not be closing our products to you who have found us and partnered with us over time. We will simply not accept new clients. We intend to grow with our existing clients over the very long term and just like to make sure that that is clear for everybody involved. On a personnel note, we're very pleased to announce that Jeff Green, CFA, was recently promoted to Director of Trading and Analytics. Jeff has been instrumental in the growth and technological advancements of our Nuance trading processes here since he joined us, and we're very proud and pleased to announce that promotion here at the firm. On page four, you can see the investment team that manages the assets for all three of our products. For our new listeners, Nuance as a firm is a bottoms-up boutique value firm, emphasizing buying leading business franchises, trading at a discount to our own internal view of intrinsic value. Deep and thorough fundamental company analysis and strict and deep valuation studies to derive risk rewards is the team's focus each and every day. The team has been very stable and is quite experienced at using our Nuance process and has over 75 years of cumulative experience in total. Importantly, this entire group largely grew up on this nuanced investment process, and we have utilized the approach through many business cycles, including the Nifty 50 and tech boom in the mid to late 90s, the subsequent tech bust, the commodity and finance boom and bust of 05 through 08, all the way to the current 10-year-plus economic expansion period, and really everything in between. The goal is to keep the team stable and cohesive for many years to come so our clients can continue to gain confidence and trust in our expertise, depth of knowledge, and our ability to handle all of the various economic and valuation cycles that naturally come our way through time. On page 5, you can see a single-page schematic of our nuanced process. This process has not changed since the inception of Nuance, and you can be assured it will not. Consistency of people and process through cycles is so critical to consistent execution and long-term performance. The big picture summary is that Nuance is a bottoms-up, classic value firm, again, searching for leading business franchises to monitor and study and purchase for you, our clients, only when the risk-reward is excellent versus other market opportunities. Over the years, we've identified about 250 companies that have the traits of what we consider to be nuanced leaders. Those traits include above-average returns on capital versus their sub-industry or niche peers, better-than-average balance sheets versus their sub-industry or niche peers, and typically number one or number two market share positions that we believe are sustainable over time. A very critical aspect of our work is the sustainability of the company's competitive position and the avoidance of competitive and or technological transitions. We consider ourselves to be expert in the avoidance and identification of competitive transitions and technological competitive transitions. And as we have seen the acceleration of those transitions over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and our own prediction is continued acceleration of those transitions over the next decade or two, we feel like we're well-positioned to outperform peers and benchmarks long into the future. So with this group of 250 companies identified, we then research, model, and study the businesses in depth for many years, some as many as 2 to 3 decades. A critical part of that work is modeling each business to a mid-cycle or normal set of financial statements. With this mid-cycle or normal set of financial statements, which includes proprietary estimates of earnings, EBITDA, cash flows, dividends, etc., we then perform an extensive valuation study of each company. That study emphasizes both a fair or intrinsic value estimate today, along with the knowledge that today's fair value will be growing as these leaders grow into the future. The study also includes a very important trough value study that focuses on how low we believe a stock can trade during a difficult or recession-like period for the economy or for the company specifically. The overall goal of the process being to maintain an in-depth knowledge of each of these 250 leaders, understand very clearly what the risk-reward ratio is for each based on this fundamental work so that each and every day we can optimize your portfolio and have the very best value-oriented opportunities in your portfolio each and every day. So with that backdrop, how is 2019 going and how has our performance been over time? First, we remind clients of our 4 primary goals from a performance perspective. These goals are set forth at the inception of Nuance in our goals and our goals that we have conveyed to our clients over the years. First, we want to beat our primary benchmark more times than not on a calendar year basis. That's because each of you on the call have clients or people that expect us to win basically on a calendar year basis more times than not. We certainly will not every year, but we need to do that for you more times than not for all of our sakes. More importantly to us, however, is the second goal of beating our primary benchmark through a market cycle and over the long term with less risk. The third goal is beating our secondary benchmark, that is the S&P 500 index, through a market cycle and over the long term with less risk. And then finally, we, of course, want to beat all of our peer groups since inception with less risk. So quickly taking these things one at a time, on page 6, you can see that 2019 has been quite solid thus far, as we were up 18.87% versus our primary benchmark, the Russell Midcap Value Index, up 18.02%. I would also note we were modestly ahead of the S&P 500 as well for the year. As to our goal, we would turn your attention to the bottom of the chart on page 6. If 2019's outperformance holds, we could potentially be saying at the end of the year that we have outperformed our primary benchmark 10 of our first 12 years here at Nuance, assuming you would include our stub year of 2008 in that count, and 9 out of 11 years without including the stub year in the count. Our second goal, again, is to outperform that primary benchmark, the Russell Midcap Value, over the long term with less risk. Since our 2008 inception, we are pleased with our 15.6% net of fee APR versus the Russell Midcap Value Index of 13.31. I'm still on page 6. I would also note that we've outperformed that benchmark with less risk as measured by standard deviation. The third goal is to outperform that secondary benchmark, the S&P 500, over the long term with less risk. It certainly has been a little more complicated to do that over the last few years, but over the long term, we've had quite a bit of success in outperforming it. And even the near term, if you look at the last 12 months, we're obviously quite pleased with our performance. Again, more importantly, for the goal, since inception, our performance is quite solid, 15.6% net of fees versus the S&P 500 index up 13.4%. And again, I would note that we've done that with less risk, as is one of our goals. Then finally, on performance, as you turn to page 7, you can see our performance for our 10-plus years versus our peers. And needless to say, we're quite pleased with these results. First percentile versus Morningstar's mid and Lipper's mid-cap value peer group, amongst the lowest risk peers. If you look at the middle data column on page 7, you can see our rankings based on a risk-only perspective, so very low risk versus our peers. And if you put those two numbers together, we are achieving our goals of top-tier risk-adjusted returns as measured by Sharpe ratios, and we rank first percentile versus all of our peer groups, again, since our inception in 2008. So on page 8, what drove the performance thus far in 2019, the first 6 months? The performance really was led by stock selection, first within the healthcare sector. Two stocks really stood out. One was Cerner Corporation, and another was Dentsply Sirona. Both were very solid stocks for us, but X-Ray, ticker symbol X-Ray, Dentsply Sirona really was a major standout. X-Ray has been under-earning its potential due to inventory and spending-related issues across the dental and equipment space. In the last two quarters, we're seeing those issues abate, and the stock for this large holding in our fund and our product has gone from $35 to $40 per share to $56-ish. As I'm speaking right now, since year-end, a really sharp outperformer for us, for one of our favorite and highest-quality mid-cap names that we've been following for a very long time. Other positive contributors included the consumer staple sector, with Sanderson Farms leading the way, and I'll talk a little bit more about Sanderson in a minute. Lastly, our underweight in the energy sector also helped, as that sector underperformed thus far in 2019, and it really helped our 2018 performance as well. We continue to be underweight as competitive uncertainty abounds in that space due to renewable energy and electric transportation. We believe that we'll be taking market share from fossil fuels over the next decade or two. As for negatives to performance, the biggest was our cash position, which hovered around 7% for the first half of the year. It's a level we are quite comfortable with, given the limited upside opportunities we see across our entire group of 250 leading market franchises. We were also, on top of that cash, which hurt us a little bit, we were also early in our holding of Lindsay Corporation, ticker symbol LNN, a debt-free market share gainer in the precision irrigation segment of the agricultural equipment sub-industry. Troughing farm income has led to purchase deferrals and lower than normal earnings. We continue to like Lindsay quite a bit and have added to that stock on weakness over the last couple of months. Our final topic today is the team's outlook for the remainder of 2019, and you can turn to page 9 to see a few highlighted items. As always, we remind our clients that these views are focused on the risk rewards of the approximately 250 leading businesses that we have been studying for so long and have really spent our entire careers understanding one stock at a time. These outlooks do not have a macro overlay or a short-term view of market direction. The focus, as always, is bottoms-up, company-specific analysis, and the risk rewards that today's valuations are providing us. We would note, though, that there are bigger picture issues here that give our team some serious pause and lead us to highlight significant risks to our clients as we roll up our independent company studies into a very specific view of what we call the Nuance market. Specifically, leverage is a serious issue to us, as historical debt to EBITDA levels for our companies, which typically hovers around 1.5 net debt to EBITDA for our big picture industrial universe, is now closing in on 2.5 times. Leverage generally leads to pulling forward of demand, over earnings in our companies, and really does also create significantly more downside risk versus history when things in the economy or things for the particular business aren't going so well. So that's a real risk to us. We could talk about the government debt as well. That is another layer of pull forward in demand that causes us some concern as we look forward for our stocks. The recent tax cut in the United States, we talked about this a little bit at our year-end conference call, led to what our team believes to be unsustainable expansion of returns on capital and almost fake earnings growth last year for many of the companies we follow. After much study and discussion with our companies, we see very little reason to believe that long-term sustainable returns on capital, or hurdle rates as we call them, expand simply due to the government deciding to cut taxes. That's not historically the way returns on capital have worked. There's historical evidence that suggests reversion back to normalized returns on capital after significant tax cuts, and so far, based on early reads, that indeed is happening in some spots, and we expect to continue over the next few years. Lastly, and I think the most important thing always, is valuations continue to be very expensive versus history for our group of leaders. Using one of the multiple valuation techniques that we use, our average mid-cycle PE multiple for our group, that number is now at 26 to 27 times and is back to peak levels we saw before last fourth quarter's sell-off. This compares to our historical views of that particular valuation measure, where we would see 9 to 10 times PE multiples during recessionary periods like the first quarter of 2009, up to historical prior peaks that could get into the low 20s typically for a PE basis, again on mid-cycle earnings. So we've surpassed that. We've gone to really kind of new peaks relative to history, and what that means is a valuation paradigm that is very extreme in our view and reminds us of past late cycle periods where risk is just simply ignored in the risk-reward thought process, and we would highlight that risk really seriously does seem to be being ignored by a large number of market participants out there. So that was kind of the bad news, but on to some good news. We do see some really interesting pockets of opportunities and one-off stocks that have significantly better risk rewards than the market as a whole. We mentioned Lindsay earlier, but we would highlight two others. One is Reinsurance Group of America. Ticker symbol is RGA. RGA is a leading global life reinsurer along with Score Life, Hanover Life, and a company like Swiss Re. The company is under-earning its more normal or mid-cycle levels for two primary reasons. First, mortality rates have been above average recently, which is really a pretty typical short-term and cyclical factor. And then secondly, the longer-term issue has been long-term interest rates, which is how the company actually underwrites to its targeted returns on capital, being in more or less a secular decline, which is a transitorily negative event for the company. If interest rates long-term can just simply stay stable or increase, which would be actually very, very positive, the returns on equity and returns on capital return to more normalized levels. As one measure, today the company's earning roughly 10% sort of ROEs versus more normal levels, close to 12% and change. These factors, in our mind, are transitory and is a classic example of a transitorily negative item that's resulting in an opportunity in a stock. RGA's earnings power today is about $13 per share, but we think it understates its true, more normal earnings power of closer to 17. At our average cost of $140 to $145 a share, we bought the stock at less than 9 times PE with an outstanding balance sheet. And again, that compares to a broader Nuance Master list that today's trading kind of in the mid to upper 20s. So a very interesting risk-reward. Fair value for the stock could be as high as 200 at 12 times our normal. Plus, we would note that the company is a possible takeover candidate over the long term, which could lead to an even higher price. So very interesting late cycle one-off risk reward in RGA. Sanderson Farms is another idea we continue to like despite recent strong move off the bottom. that occurred late last year. Of course, that ticker symbol is SAFM, and we've been talking about that now for roughly 6 to 12 months in pretty consistent fashion. Sanderson is a fully integrated poultry processing company with dominant market share in the southeast and southwestern regions of the U.S. Sanderson is a leader in the very attractive segment of the food sub-industry, as poultry is taking share from other proteins over time, and proteins in general are taking significant share from packaged foods over time. So Sanderson is in a sweet spot from the perspective of what they are providing consumers for their food intake. If that is enough good news on the competitive front, Sanderson has also taken share in the poultry-only market over the past decade as well, and is well known to be an excellent low-cost operator of their business. Lastly, Sanderson Farms is a debt-free balance sheet company. Compare that to the broader industrial world at closer to 2.5 times, and really a sharp contrast to the other protein competitors like Pilgrim's Pride and Tyson Foods, who are significantly levered, and we like where Sanderson Farms sits on the financial risk spectrum as well. The recent poor stock performance that we saw over the latter parts of last year was a direct result of the earnings power for the company falling from what was around $12 to $13 a share. They went down to about $1 to $2 per share as rising feed costs and lowering protein prices due to tariff-related and trade uncertainty issues squeezed margins a year or so ago. What we're seeing now between year-end and today, this summer, is some abatement in the feed cost issues and some ticks off the bottom for chicken prices in general. So we've got earnings headed in the right direction. That's led the stock to rally from $90 to $100, our average cost being kind of around $100, $105, $110, all the way to about $130 today. So we're off to a really good start in this investment. But we think fair value could be as high as $160 per share. And we believe the company could also, much like RGA, also be a takeover candidate over time due to the attractive qualities and nature of the business and really the category that they're involved in being a share gainer over the long term. Each of these examples represents why we are overweight the consumer staples sector, the insurance industry, and the aforementioned Lindsay also is an example of why we're overweight the industrial sector. The one-off transitory nature of the issues for each of the three companies is providing the opportunity in these cases and is very typical, really, of latter cycle opportunities that we see here at Nuance. So we're excited about all three of those opportunities. With that, I want to conclude my comments by thanking our clients for their continued confidence and support. Many of you have been with us now 7, 8, 9, and sometimes over 10 years, and we really do appreciate your continued confidence and support. That concludes my prepared remarks, and we can open it up to any questions.
And thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone, and I'm standing by for questions. As a reminder, it's star, then one if you'd like to queue up. It seems we have no questions in queue. I will turn the call over to Mr. Gillespie for closing remarks.
Thanks, Vanessa, and thank you all for joining us today. Again, if you do have any questions that were unanswered, you can always reach out to our client services team at client.services@nuanceinvestments.com. And for more up-to-date information on our strategies, you can visit our website at nuanceinvestments.com. Thank you.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes our conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.